The visitor took a brief and sorry overview of a self-consuming planet, rotting down like an overripe puffball, then breezily rocketing its polluted spores into space, with Boy Scout optimism, in the lofty hope of finding some more congenial womb. The visitor glanced at the individual carnage, still mystified, but then recalled that on a previous visit, now extinct tribes, notably the Aztecs, used to sacrifice human lives, keeping the streets constantly lubricated with blood to ensure the sun would rise each day. Their ceremonies were so extravagantly packaged, the victims glowed and shone and consented with pleasure.
The visitor gazed again at the new brand of mass execution, casually sponsored by market forces, and noticed that in a riot or a revolution, it was curious that cars, anyone's cars, always seemed the first to go. The visitor then glimpsed the occasional vandal, who, were they ever to risk losing pace by politicizing themselves, might feel that since no one voted for the car, rubbishing them required no referendum, and that slashing tires, pouring sugar into the tanks, shoving potatoes up the exhaust so the pipe explodes, blowing off the manifold, splashing brake fluid onto the bodywork, topping up the oil with valve grinding paste, placing upturned nails under stationary vehicles, turning cars over in the street like lice so that petrol spills out and they can be fired, might serve to keep a few hunks of human flesh throbbing with life for a little longer.
It seemed to the visitor that vandals were perhaps the only experts in crisis management. And even dogs, the visitor observed, would attack the tires of passing cars as if biting at the tendons of a marauder. But these as yet were mere midgets, shaking their fists at the heavens. For the visitor concluded,
"If you were conceived in a car, as many are.
If you first made love in a car, as many have.
If you went to work in a car, as many do. And if you derive your sense of freedom from cars,
you are going to defend them
to the death.